Epistle lesson today, our second reading comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, 26 through 39. This passage is, I believe, so familiar to many of us. And so we listen today with new ears that God might bring us some fresh insight. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good, for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or persecution or distress or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There is a children's camp song that has lyrics that go like this. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. Long, thin, slimy ones. Short, fat, juicy ones. Itsy, bitsy, fuzzy, wuzzy worms. If I were to do a massive rewriting of today's reading from Romans 8 for maybe the preschool age crowd, that's what I would write. Nobody likes me. Guess I'll just go eat worms. The Apostle Paul was a very educated man with a very sophisticated writing style, but if you take his eloquent preaching and knock it down a few levels, what is he going on about? He's talking about the fact here, the reality that life is full of worms. And he names them, right? Hardship and distress and persecution and famineness and nakedness and peril and sword. Worms that we endure eating. Worms of hate and division and violence. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'm resigned to this life of choking down the slimy worms. And to add insult to injury, even faith is just another slimy worm to be choked down, right? So we hear from the psalmist this morning, and so we read in between the lines of Paul's address. For all my prayers, I don't think God is here listening. Right? That's the subtext. And the Apostle Paul finds just the right phrase to name all of these disheartened feelings. He calls them sighs too deep for words. Sighs too deep for words. These sighs are often sighs of separation, That's a good summary of the problem here. Size of separation, size of feeling distant, misunderstood, alone, frustrated, overlooked. I feel like we are becoming familiar with sighing such size. Wordless breath that expels the exhaustion of hardship and distress and persecution and famine and nakedness and peril and sword. Certainly the Black community is sighing as once again our society is sending the message to just go eat worms. The healthcare community is sighing as we fill up the ICU beds again in the next city, in the next town. The senior citizens residing in care facilities are sighing as their lockdown sentences grow longer, time they may not have to wait for visits and life to resume. The school communities are sighing, both teachers and parents, at what imperfect options they have to choose from. All of these and others are sighs of separation, of people who can't be together, work together, live together as they should. To these sighs, we add sighs of the 1.5 million new children who have become food insecure since COVID started. And the sighs of essential workers, underpaid, who put themselves in harm's way to serve our basic needs. We add the sighs of those with anxiety and depression, unable to cope with the added stress. And you, I'm sure, you each have your own sighs. Things words just don't adequately address anymore. In each sigh, there is a separation of one human from another, a minority voice from majority voices, a carer and one who needs care, an educator and those in need of education, a worker and one who benefits from the worker's toil. A sigh because in all sorts of ways we are supposed to be together, but in fact there are rifts created or forced upon us. We sigh when, as scripture says, it's all too deep for words. When we don't even know what to say anymore, not even to God. What can separate us from the love of God? The question comes up in scripture because someone was having that question, was feeling separated even from God. But in this place, Pastor Paul reminds us where we've got nothing left but sighs, the Spirit of God gets to work. The Spirit helps us in our weakness when we do not even know how to pray as we ought. The Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. The Spirit validates our sighing by sighing with us. And that is prayer, friends. Not prayer with words. It's more than words. It's the prayer of the heart connecting with the heart of God. Let me figure out how to say that again. When we sigh, God's Spirit sighs with us, and that is a powerful prayer in itself. No words, just understanding and solidarity and help. Our spoken prayers leave out so much that our sighs do speak. Perhaps a sigh is worth 1,000 spoken prayers. So powerful is that moment of truth. The answer to that sighing prayer, to the sigh of separation, is the most bold statement of God's love to be found anywhere in Scripture. Right? Nothing, Romans says, nothing, neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing, God says, can separate us. If sin and evil tries to wrench us apart, drive us to selfishness, keep us from loving one another in all circumstances, the good news is that nothing can wrench God's love from us. Nothing can separate. Even when we can't pray to God in our usual way, even when we don't know what to do, Even when we don't do what we ought, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Take the biggest proverbial wedge and the biggest proverbial sledgehammer and go to town, but not even that can put a nick in the love of God that binds us together. So I've seen this whole Romans 8 passage, the sighing, the prayer, the love thing at work. I see it all the time. And since we're all online these days, I'm going to use an example from Facebook. One of the lessons I learned actually pastoring in the Midwest, where the Christian community leaned heavily American-style evangelical, even in the mainline traditions, I learned the power of harnessing every form of communication for prayer. They were bold in prayer, and they owned it. Every greeting card, every thank you note had a prayer on it. Every bumper sticker, every email signature, every church publication, all kinds of social media, all of it harnessed as another outlet to pray. And the prayers were constant everywhere I turned, taking seriously that we are to pray always and in all circumstances. Well, taking that social media as an example, the prayers I saw there could be quite powerful. Very often I would see, and perhaps you've seen these too, a post on Facebook with a photo. There would be a photo of someone's loved one in intensive care. Yes, a photo of the stark reality of the life support equipment and IV lines and a face barely recognizable under the glow of the monitors. And we might first balk at, well, that's too private a situation to share, but here's the thing, these photos would come with requests for prayer and often with a little bit of story to fill us in on the particular need, and it was always clear from the writing that the spouse or the parent or the friend posting was sighing loudly, asking for prayer because they were out of words, out of spirit, asking for us to intercede, hoping God would pick up on the sighing. And the prayers would pour out in hundreds and sometimes thousands in that comment section, pouring out love and support and petitioning for grace and mercy and healing and God's compassionate will to be done. And the way Facebook works, of course, is that first it was friends and family who would respond, but then the networking would kick in and strangers from all over the world would pause to lift this person in prayer. It turns into this giant global cloud of witnesses, and for a person of faith to see that happen is proof of God's love. It is reassurance that their sighs are heard and understood and reach the heart of God. It is the miracle of being reconnected after feeling alone and separated from all that is good. I've so often heard this scripture preached as a call to living in victory, a pep rally, right, for the disheartened. In all things, it says we are more than conquerors. But what I hear God inviting us to here is not to be temporarily cheered up, but to find that we are, in fact, most deeply connected to God when we sigh. In those times, we encounter God's love as God's Spirit sighing with us. And our sighs as the very Spirit of God at work within us. In those moments, there is a deep understanding, a deep relationship, connection, a healing of the root cause of the sighs. Now, that's not so rah-rah to preach, but it does come from God's own experience. He who did not withhold his only Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Did not God sigh deeply at that moment? Did not Christ sigh at his last breath on the cross? From that experience, God generates all the love and grace we could possibly need in our times of sighing. It's real for us because it was real for God. Both the experience beyond words and the love that held everything together. So, when you sigh at the state of the world or at the state of your own life, know that that sigh activates the Spirit of God to rally the energy of God of heaven and earth to stitch up and to mend and to glue and to hold what is being torn apart together in love. So go ahead and sigh, but not in defeat, friends. I hope you don't sigh in defeat and not in resignation, but sigh in faith as the most effective and transformative prayer you've ever prayed. Sigh knowing it's the siren call summoning the Spirit of God to show up in power and in love to work all things for good. Sigh knowing that whatever you're sighing about, God will bring the full force of divine love to answer that need. Sigh knowing that it brings you closer to God. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.